index funds versus indexing. What's the difference? I'll explain next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. If you've listened much to this show, I'm extremely passionate about education. And so many of you may be aware I have a YouTube channel for the purpose of educating you, and it's called Three Dimensional Wealth, and I try to post an in-depth answer to a financial question at least 5 days a week. And recently, this question had been asked hundreds of times. What's the difference between index funds and indexing? You know, they hear me talk about indexing, and there is a huge difference. And I'm going to explain this to you because a lot of financial advisors out there, when they hear me talking about indexing, which is a strategy, they think I'm talking about indexed mutual funds, and absolutely not. So here's a little teaser to help you pique your interest. With indexing, you don't lose. With index funds, you definitely can lose, and many people have. So why is that? Well, unfortunately, most financial advisors out there do not understand indexing as a strategy. So they think or assume, oh, Doug must be talking about index mutual funds. No. So what is an indexed fund, and why is indexing different? An indexed fund is, simply put, a mutual fund where they pool money together and they buy various stocks, bonds, and so forth. And so you can diversify, because when you buy shares in the mutual fund then manages that, and they diversify your money in maybe 10 or 15% of the major technology companies or energy companies or utility companies or what have you. And so mutual funds are there to diversify your money, but your money is still invested in the market, because that's where the mutual fund's money goes, into stocks and bonds and so forth. And so a lot of times mutual fund companies will offer a mutual fund that specializes or buys the stocks in the index, like the Dow Jones or the S&P Standard & Poor's 500 or the Russell 2000. Okay, those are called indexes or indices. And so the market for years, okay, Wall Street and so forth, they usually report, of course, on a daily basis, whether the top 500 companies in America, if you took those as an average, was their stock up today or down today? And so was there an increase in the average of the top 500? That would be the S&P 500 index. And so that's a measurement, okay, so that people listening can sort of say, oh, I wonder how the economy went today, what the stock market did today, and what the news of this or the Fed Reserve lowering the interest rates did to the stock market today, and so forth. So on the radio, they will tell you what the Dow Jones did or the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000. So when you buy a mutual fund that invests in the S&P 500, they're putting your money in the top 500 companies in those various sectors. And so you're going to experience whatever the S&P does. Your money is diversified in the top 500. Okay, that's all an index fund is. So what is the difference? Well, with an index fund, you can lose money. For example, when the 9/11 attacks happened in 2001, September 11th, For 3 years, the stock market went down. So the S&P 500, the top 500 companies, the S&P dropped down, down, down. And most people who had their money in those S&P 500 stocks or an indexed fund saw $1 million nest egg dwindle down to value to $600,000, depending upon the allocation in the S&P 500. And it took 4 years for them to make it back, because when you lose money, a 40% loss, it has to be followed by a 67% gain to get back your money. 600,000 has to grow by 400,000 or 67% to get back up to the million. And the same thing happened in 2008. The S&P 500 dropped 40% again for the second time in that decade. And it took till 2012 to come back to break even. Now, that's what happens when you have your money in an indexed fund. And I was just using the S&P 500 as an actual example there. So people that learned about indexing, they did not lose during that 12-year period. In fact, from 2000 to 2010, it's the worst 10-year period since the Great Depression, because most 10-year periods, all the way back to the Great Depression, you slice out any 10-year period, and there's generally seven up years in an indexed fund or in the market versus three down years. That decade, there were five loss years compared to five gain years. So with indexing, your money is safely tucked in my favorite instrument. It's an insurance contract where the insurance company has your money and they are letting your cash grow and replace the death benefit. You're self-insuring. So it's a kind of an insurance policy where you're putting in the most money and taking the least amount of insurance. And as your cash grows inside the insurance policy, the amount of insurance goes down as you get older. So therefore, the cost of the insurance gets less and less. And so most people in a max-funded indexed universal life, historically, I have earned like 9.2% and netted 8.2% cash on cash. Well, when you have money in an indexed universal life insurance contract, if I had that same million in that insurance policy in the year 2000, in 2001, 2, and 3, after 9/11, I may not have made anything, because my money was not out in the S&P. It was safely tucked in the insurance company. And the insurance company, on their general account portfolio with bonds and mortgages and on skyscrapers and shopping malls and so forth, the general account portfolio rate back then was about 6%. They need about 1% of the six, one of those percentage points for themselves. And so my net was 5%. So on $1 million, I'm making $50,000 if I just want to hunker down and leave my money in the insurance company. Or anytime I feel bullish about America, I can link my return to an index of my choice that they offer. And so if I did it with the S&P 500, because most of these indexed universal life insurance companies that offer that, they will have the S&P. So let's just keep it simple here. So in 2001, 2, and 3, when the S&P went down, if I had linked to that index, my million is still safe in the insurance company. I didn't put it out in the market. I simply relinquished the 5% interest back then that I was earning. That's 50 grand a year. I could have accepted 50 grand a year for 3 years. That would have been 150,000 or a little more with compounding. But instead, you know, if I linked to an index, I didn't lose the million, my principal. I simply relinquished the interest on that, because when you link to an index, you're telling the insurance company they can take the interest on your money and do whatever they need to do to have the wherewithal to pay you whatever the S&P does, so they buy upside options. So what I gave up was the for sure 5% if I linked. Now, actually, I only did that in 2001. In 2002 and 2003, the market was still, you know, people were still rubbernecking on the economic freeway after 9/11. And so I just moved back over and just earned 5% the next 2 years. I don't have to sit there and earn Zippo, because it's flexible. Same thing happened in 2007 and 8. Those are 2 years where I didn't earn anything if I was linked, but I didn't lose anything. But only one of those years did I lose. The other one, I just went back and settled for 5%. And then the other 5 years when the market was up, I got to participate. Only two of those years did I cap out. 1 year was at 17%. The other year was at 16%. Do you know what the average during that worst decade was? Even if you never rebalanced by moving your option back over just to the 5% of the insurance company, you would have earned 7.23% in the worst decade. Rule of 72, a million would have doubled to 2 million when most Americans didn't even have their million back yet. Does that make sense? But by rebalancing, I was able to earn 9.62%. Because there were 3 years that I didn't settle for zero. I just settled for the 5%, the general account portfolio rate. So indexing is where your money is not at risk of the market. You're using a measuring tape, so to speak. Okay, let's use the S&P 500, and that tells the insurance company that's what they have to pay you on your insurance policy if the market went up and those options mature. And they have the wherewithal to do that. They can afford to do it because they're big boys and girls. That's why they buy options. They're the number one purchaser of options in the world. But when the market goes down, you don't lose.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
What are the best ways to diversify when using indexing strategies? Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you are just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about the difference between indexed funds or index funds and indexing. So simply put, an index fund is just a commodity. You're buying a mutual fund that diversifies your money in the S&P, Standard & Poor's 500 index companies, okay? So it's just a mutual fund. You might make money some years. You might lose money other years. And I gave an example of how in 2001 to 2003, the S&P, if you had your money in an S&P indexed fund, you would have lost 30 to 40% in 3 years. It would have taken 4 years till 2007 to make back what you lost. And in 2008, many people in an S&P 500 index fund would have lost another 40% for the second time in that decade. And it took 4 years again until 2012 until they made back what they lost. During that same 12-year period, if you had used indexing, which is a strategy, and not had your money at risk in the market, your money is safely tucked in a max-funded insurance contract, my favorite vehicle because they're tax-free, then you are safely tucking your money in the insurance company's general account portfolio. When you decide to link to an index, you are not telling the insurance company to take your cash value and invest it in the market. That's a variable insurance policy, okay? An index means your money stays safe in the insurance company, earning the general account portfolio rate. And back during that decade, most of the ones that I was involved with were earning about 6% on their general account portfolio of mortgages and bonds and so forth. And so they keep about one of those 6 percentage points for the company's profit. And the other 5 percentage points, you can just settle back and earn that. In fact, back in the 1980s, the general account portfolio rate on Universal Life was between 11 and 15% from 1980 until 1990. I never got credited less than 11.75%, and I got as high as 15.5% because interest rates were high back then. Mortgages on houses were 12 to 18% and even 21%. CDs at banks were paying 10%. So interest rates are relative, folks. When interest rates are high for borrowing money, they're high for earning money. But when they're low for borrowing, it's low for earning. Interest rates are interest rates. That's what I mean by being relative, whether you're on the paying end or the receiving end of interest, okay? Now, during the turn of the century, 2000, 2010, okay, interest rates were low. And so that's why the general account portfolio rates of insurance companies might have been around 5 or 6%. But indexing as a strategy actually came out in 1997. And it allowed people who wanted to have the potential to earn higher than the general account portfolio rate when the economy was doing well, that any time you could link your return to an index of your choice. Now, many of these insurance companies have the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, the Russell 2000, the Barclays U.S. Dynamic Balance Index, and all kinds of indices. Many of them have 10 or 15 to choose from. And so when you feel bullish about America, you can say link. And from that linking date, and it doesn't have to be a calendar year, you are relinquishing a portion or all of the for sure 5 or 6% in this case, the general account portfolio interest that they would credit you. And so you're relinquishing that, but your million in this example has to be safe in the insurance company, okay, earning the 5%. You're just saying, okay, you don't have to keep the 5%, the 50 grand around for me on this million this year. You can do whatever you need to do with it so that you'll have the wherewithal to pay me whatever the index or indices that I chose actually increase by. So if the S&P went up 10%, on my million, they credit me 100 grand. And people say, well, how can they afford to do that if they don't have your money in the market? It's because the 50 grand that they bought in options, the options will increase in value and they have the 100,000 to pay you. And if they triple, they have the 150,000 to pay you 15% on your money. And so if you started out with a million, at the end of that year, you'd have 150,000. And this is what I was saying at the end of the last segment. In 2017, many people locked in gains of 16% because that was the cap. Why do they cap you? Because they don't have your full amount of money. They don't have the full million to put in the market because you don't want that risk. They only have the interest on your money to buy options so that your principal is safe in case, you know, the market crashes. And if the market crashes, you don't make anything, but you don't lose. Well, they have to cap that. There's trade-offs. And so the caps in 2017, many people were capped at 16% because it was an up year. Others, they earned 25%. The point is, they were credited on, let's say, $1 million they started with in 2017. By the end of 2017, or the end of their linking period, they had $1,160,000 at 16%, or they had $1,250,000. And if next year, now next year was just a ho-hum year, 2018, but if the next year it would have been like 2008 from a decade earlier, and the market would have crashed 40%, you would have still had your $1,250,000. You wouldn't have lost a dime. You may not have made anything in 2018, but you didn't lose the quarter of a million that you increased your account by the previous year. This is called lock-in and reset, because you lock in your gains every year and you simply reset. And that's why people who use indexing have been able to come through very, very rough periods. And there's some years where you don't make much of anything, but you don't lose. Well, how do you diversify? Well, if you heard me in the last segment, if you just chose the S&P 500 and you linked the entire decade, from 2000 to 2010, you would have earned an average of 7.23%. And that's with a cap of 15. My caps back then, one was 17 and the other was 16. So this is even conservative. But by rebalancing or by diversifying, you could have had out of, let's say, $1 million of cash value, and you can extrapolate. You don't have to have $1 million to do this. You could do this with 10,000, 100,000, 10 million. But if you said, I want 30% linked to the Dow Jones, 30% linked to the S&P 500 index, I want 30% to the Barclays U.S. Dynamic Balance Index, and the last 10% of my million, the last 100 grand, just leave it there in the insurance company earning 5. And by diversifying like that, you could have averaged well over 9% rate of return. Or if you rebalance, like I mentioned, you could have your money in one or two or three. But after 9/11, I mean, the market went down. And then this is, again, September 11th, 2001. The market went down 3 years in a row. Well, you don't have to sit there for 3 years and say, oh, you have the option every year just to move the strategy. Your money's not moving anywhere. You're moving the strategy back over to just pay me the general account portfolio rate of 5. So instead of earning 0, because sometimes 0 can be your hero when everybody else is losing 40%, instead of just saying 0 for 2001, 2002, 2003, 2007, 2008, which still you would have averaged 7.23% because of the other 5 years being up and only two of those capping out at, let's say, 15%. You say, you know what, I'm just going to move it back over. And so you earned 5% instead of zero, 3 of those 5 years. So that's called rebalancing, and I'm simplifying this. And this is where many, many people actually achieved rates of return around 9.6% during that worst decade, which means by the end of 2012, if you do the math, many people that started out with $1 million ended up with $3 million when most Americans were barely back to break even. This is significant, folks, and you wouldn't believe how many financial advisors, when they finally listen to what I just said, they go, whoa, I didn't understand that.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.